Blog Talk Radio.
Were you trying to get crazy with this thing? Don't you know I'm loco?
Good evening. What's up? Your president is insane in the membrane. May 7, 2019, 8 o'clock on the East Coast. Coming to you live from the southeast side of Raleigh, North Kakilaki, capital of North Kakilaki. You're listening to the Ant Canary Experience. I'm your host, Ant Canary. And for the next hour and 20-some-odd minutes, I'm just going to sit here and have class and just talk to you about your president who's not right in the head. So you don't have to call in. All you need to do is just sit back and just listen. It'd be like last week's program where I just did all the talking and you did all the listening. And the reason why I'm doing that because I want to end the program at a good time because I had another one of those long days and I don't want to try to go over because I am, the bed is calling me again. You know how that is. So I'm just going to teach class tonight and you can listen. And then maybe next week, I'll give out the numbers and we can chat because I don't think I've got to do another long day next Tuesday, which is good. And when I say long day, I had to get up this morning at 1:15. Had to be at work at 3, worked from 3 a.m. to 3 p.m. 12 hours. I'm only, I used to do 12 hours a long time ago. I'm used to doing 8. So those extra 4 hours can do some stuff to you. So that's why I'm just going to teach. You can listen, take notes, and then maybe next week, if you want to call and you got a question about something, just write it down, save it for next week, and we'll talk about it. But tonight we're going to talk about Trump. And usually, you know, I save these programs for Black history, Black issues. You know, if you've been listening for a while, you know what I'm about. But tonight, matter of fact, I had thought about doing this program a while ago. But I thought tonight would be a good time to do it because, like I said, your president is insane in the membrane. That's why I entitled tonight's show Deranged Donald and the 25th Amendment. Now, I didn't make up the term Deranged Donald. The chick that's in his cabinet looks like the Crypt Keeper. Her husband started that with the Deranged Donald. And he's got issues. As my grandmother used to say, there's something wrong with that boy. There's something wrong with him. And there's also something wrong with the people that follow him. I get into arguments all the time on social media about this clown, and I had one today. What was it about? It was, he recently pardoned a soldier that killed an Iraqi some time back. And I made the comment, you know, him pardoning somebody in the military is real funny considering he didn't want to get in the military in the first place. What did I say that for? Because his I call them nut hugging fans just came all out of the woodwork and just started going and going. And so we kept going with each other about an hour, back and forth, back and forth. One thing I don't play. I don't back down from them Trump nut huggers, and I suggest you don't back down from them either, because not only is Trump sick in the head, he's also a bully. His fans are bullies, and the reason why they're bullies is because they see him doing all this stupid shit, and they think they can do it too. And I've said this before. I think the only reason why I think that he won or slid in office is because people in this country, the ugly ghost of racism, let's get it straight. Racism in this country never died. It just went underground. It went into hibernation. So I hate to tell you that if you thought that racism was dead in this country, you're sadly mistaken. It just hid out for a little while. And it came out when we elected our first Black president. You know, it's one of those things where the KKK, you know, they went from wearing nightgowns and pointed hats to wearing three-piece suits. Now they're wearing red maggot hats. So racism never went away. And I hate it. If you're just realizing, you know, I hate to tell you, but it never went. It just hid out. And so a lot of people voted for this clown is because he was a white guy. He was a rich white guy. And a lot of those people were just tired of having a Black man, an intelligent Black man, in the White House for 8 years. So there was no way they were going to vote for a woman. So they just voted for the, you know, and the Republicans love this clown just because he's rich. And a lot of the stuff that he's doing, he's greasing the palms of these other people. This guy, he's one of those people that, you know, he's probably your worst manager 100 times over. This clown is a yes man. Only people he liked around him are people that agree with him. To work with this clown, you've got to be empty-headed like he is. You know, the more empty-headed you are, the easier it is to fool your head full of bullshit. And I also say his supporters have cow shit for brains. Have you noticed how this guy does not like education? And the reason why he doesn't like education, because stupid people are easier to manage. If you got too much common sense, if you have too much education, too much college or whatever, you're hard to control. But the less sense you have in your head, you're easier to control. And a lot of his fans are like that. You know, anything he does, that's cool. Anything he says, that's cool. He can do anything he wants, and his fans are all over him. They don't care. They don't give a shit. He can say something stupid. Yeah, we agree. I mean, it doesn't matter what he does. His fans are all over him, and they don't care. Even though they're voting against their own self-interest, they just don't care. Because this country, you know, has been around for hundreds of years. And if you go look at one of those, which they used to have, you know, in history class, they would have one of those big posters with little, you know, small little portrait pictures of all the presidents. And if you had one of those, looking at one of those right now, 44 of those guys are white. One is black. Out of all of those guys, one is black. And for a lot of people in this country, they could not stand the thought of a black guy being in charge. It killed him. So when this clown pops up on the scene, and I do remember, I read this, or either I saw this. One of the reasons why he ran for president isn't because he wanted to be president. He was mad at Obama for dissing him at one of those dinners, the correspondent dinners that he hadn't been to since he'd been in office, because he's scared of people making fun of him. He's scared to take criticism. So he went to one, and Obama went ham on him. Kind of like playing the dozens, but he didn't play back. And Obama went ham on him. And every time they put the camera on him, he was just sitting there with that jacked up look on his face, because he was pissed. So now he's in office trying to erase Obama from their history books, of trying to roll back everything he's accomplished. So what normal person does that? He's spiteful. He's a bully. He's an asshole. He's stupid. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's in over his head. He's got people that agree with him every time he opens his mouth. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No matter how stupid he sounds. But they agree with him anyway. I follow him on Twitter just so I can cuss him out on a daily basis. If you want a good laugh, follow him on Twitter. Because I believe, and many people, you know, in the field, you know, have, you know, if you on Twitter at 2-3 o'clock in the morning when your ass should be asleep or doing your wife, and you are on the toilet on Twitter, something's wrong with you. And I had posted a couple of weeks ago that the reason why he's on Twitter, or the reason why he does Twitter on the toilet, because the tweets are full of shit. And all he does is tweet stupid stuff. He's up to his eyeballs in this mess that he's gotten his own self in. And now he's trying to start fights with other countries. Kind of like what Bush II did with Iraq. Now, I used to think Bush was stupid, but there's a difference between him and Trump, because Bush, he wasn't a bright dude, but at least he was like Gomer Powell. He was just dumb, like hillbilly dumb, you know, golly, well, you know, that kind of dumb. Trump is dumb and evil. So we need to watch out for dumb and evil. Just being dumb, you know, that's, you know, So Bush's numbers were going down because he was, you know, jacking up stuff. And he decided to start a war against a country that did not have anything to do with 9/11. The country he should have been starting stuff with should have been Saudi Arabia. But we need their oil. So he didn't do that. He went to the next best thing, which had to be Iraq. And what this clown didn't realize, and what a lot of people don't realize, if he had left Iraq alone, yeah, sure, they had an asshat for a ruler. But that asshat kept a lot of those people in check. And if he hadn't gone over there, we would have never had ISIS and, you know, other things. But he did anyway. So for years, every time you turn the news on at 6:30, 6 o'clock, 6:30, they're leading off with, you know, how many Americans got killed. For what? Over a lie. And it was a dodge. You know, he played the okie doke. He wanted you to look at his left hand while he had this stuff in his right hand. And see, Trump's going to probably end up trying to do this too, because his numbers are down. He won't admit it, but his numbers are down. But he keeps, you know, hollering about, you know, I've done this, I've done that. Well, you haven't done anything. And his fans just eat it up, and they spew the same garbage over and over again. Over and over again. It's the same garbage. Because they don't think for themselves. That's why a lot of people watch Fox News. Because when you don't have anything in your head, you just, you know, you want people to think for you. So you go to things that, you know, will think for you, and then that way you don't have to spend time doing any thinking. Because you think everything they say is true, and it's not. And just before I came on tonight, they're reporting that he didn't pay taxes for 10 years between what, 86 to 90, or 80, I want to say the numbers, 1995 to like 1996, 97, he lost $1 billion and didn't pay taxes for like 10 years. And the reason why he won't show his tax records are because he's already pumped up in his head and in his fans' head that he's got all of this money. And he doesn't want them to know the truth. So if the truth comes out that he ain't got all this money, you know, some of them will probably still stick with him. Some of them be like, you know what, you lied to us. So he's got to keep up that show. He's got to keep up that front. Because he wants to, you know, pretend that he's the big man. You know, he's the big dog when he's not worth the money he claims that he's worth. You know, you got to remember, money, power, respect, they all go together. Not only is that a cool song from, you know, Junior Mafia, but money, power, respect, those are the only things those clowns in D.C., care about. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They don't care about, you know, the little people. The more money they make, the more power they get. And the more power they get, for some reason they think that they get more respect. Well, people like me and like other people don't respect him and don't respect anybody in his cabinet because they're all douchebags. You know, McDonald's has got a better hiring rate than this clown, because every time you turn around, somebody's quitting. Oh, he's letting people go. Who would want to work for him? How much will you sell your soul to work for a clown like that? I like money, but there's no way I'm going to sell my soul to work for a shithead like that. I won't do it. Somebody will. I won't. Now, if I could take that money and, you know, you give me that money up front and it's mine, yeah, I'll do it. I'll take it and then I'll get on TV and I'll talk shit about you. I wouldn't care if you did fire me because I got all that money. But I would not sell my soul to the devil for this clown. Not going to happen. wouldn't do it. So he's got people that are surround. He likes to surround himself with people that agree with him. No matter what he does, what he says, that's just the way it is. So you have people getting on TV lying for him, and you know it's a lie. There is an interesting program on Netflix. I think it's still on Netflix. It gives the whole story about him. I think it's called Dirty Money, I believe. If you haven't seen it, check it out. If you got Netflix, see if it's it may be on. I think it's called Dirty. It's a series. I think it's like a 5 or 6 part series on different subjects, and they have one entire program dedicated to him. And you need to check it out. The guy is nuts. His grandfather was a pimp. His grandfather was a drug dealer. In case you didn't know, now you know. That's where the and his people are from Germany. Now I find it awfully funny that this clown, you know, his family wasn't born here. His family came from another country. But him and other people like him like to pretend that this country belongs to them and want to keep other people out. So how is an immigrant going to tell other immigrants they can't come into this country? But yet and still at his resorts all over the place, that's what he mostly got working for him. Immigrants. Then I read a story last week that there was at one of these resorts, 60 some people applied for the job, for a job. I think about 60 people, 60 American people. Only one person got hired. They don't believe in hiring Americans like you or me. They will hire the immigrants because they know they can screw them over, but they'll still do the work for them. They'll still cut the grass. They'll still make the beds and all that kind of stuff. You know, but he wants to keep out brown and black people out of the country, but he'll welcome in white folk. You know, if you notice that the list of countries, you know, that can't, you know, come to this country, they're all black or brown countries. Mexico is a brown country. Venezuela, Guatemala, those are brown countries. But those are the people that do the work that American people, we Americans won't do. They'll be the ones out there in the field. They'll be the ones out there sweeping up, being maids, cleaning bathrooms, washing dishes, making beds, cutting the grass, doing hard labor, because you see them doing that work every day. They do it. So this clown wants to cut out an entire, you know, class of people because he's stupid like that. You know, and we can trace this back to when, you know, his grandfather came over here from Germany. His grandfather was a drug dealer and a pimp. He then gets into the real estate thing. Passes it on to his son, which is Trump's father. His father passes it on to him because I guess he figured at an early age he couldn't do anything else. So his father passed the business on to him. His father gave him money. So and another thing, let's don't get it twisted. Trump is not self-made. Self-made is when you start from the bottom and you work your way up. With no help. Trump is not that. His father gave him millions of dollars. And if he was smart, if he would have just put it on the stock market, put it in the bank, he would have made more than what he, you know, what he's doing now. You know, he's filed bankruptcy, what, 6 times? He's on casinos. They went under. Airline went under. Steaks went under. Vodka went under. Magazine went under. He tried to do a scam of a school. That got found out. He had to pay back money for that crap. So this guy is not self-made. He did not pull himself up by his bootstraps, but he wants his fans to believe. His father gave him money, and a lot of that money he lost, but his father, you know, kept giving it to him. And then when his father passed, then it wound it up to him. And matter of fact, he's got a brother and a sister that, you know, that didn't even get involved in this stuff. I don't even think they even talked to him. I want to say his brother might be dead. I think I can't remember. It's in the special. It's in that show if you decide to check it out. And back in the day when he was renting out apartments in certain parts of New York, if black people applied to these apartments, there was a big C placed on the top of the application, and the C meant colored. So not only does he have shit for brains, and he's a bully, he's also a racist. Now, you may have seen him with other black people. And there may be black people that like him. I don't like him. But, you know, he's been around black folk. But a lot of those black folk he's been around are people that think like he thinks. You know, and then, you know, somebody might say, well, how can he be racist if he's been around black people? Well, you've been around people that you didn't like, but you was around them anyway. Especially at holidays and you know, because everybody's got that one aunt or cousin, like, God damn, I can't stand them. But you got to be around them for a little while, and then as soon as you're like, whew, I'm glad to be, you know, it was probably the same way. You know, he tried to buy a football team. They told him to kick rocks. He got mad, and he got involved in the USFL. That went under. Thanks to him. So this guy is not as successful as he says he is. You know, and I understand, you know, when you go into business, I understand everything, you know, might not work out for you. Everybody's not like the Amazon guy. But, you know, you don't have to sit here and brag and say that you did so-and-so, you did so-and-so, you didn't do anything. And that's the way this clown is. He's got issues. And when he was out campaigning, you know, matter of fact, here in, well, not here, but in Fayetteville, which is about an hour away from here, he had one of his Klan meetings. And he was telling his people, you know, is there somebody here, you know, causing trouble? You know, hit him. I'll pay you legal fees. And what happened? Some old guy hit a brother going up the stairs, minding his own business. Some old guy just reached up and just punched this guy for no reason. For no reason at all. And it's on videotape. And that was the Klan rally I wanted to go to. I wanted to try to get up some of my boys, and we could have went and crashed it. But I couldn't find anybody. It was last minute. And then they got the white guy, arrested him. But, you know, at the end, the brother decided to forgive. I wouldn't have forgave him. I think sometimes as black folk, we are just too forgiving. I wouldn't have forgave him. I would have told him to kiss my ass. And if I see you on the street, you know, I might put my foot in your butt, because all of that mess was uncalled for. This clown, he does this kind of stuff. And then as people see him do this stuff, his people say, you know, they see him say this stuff and they think it's cool and they think they can say it. Well, you know, I've said this before. Don't let your president be the reason why you get your ass kicked. Because he ain't going to be there. He's got bodyguards. You don't have bodyguards. And people hate. They don't like being around people that all they do is blab. Talk, and they talk a whole lot of smack and they can't back it up. So don't be like him. Don't be like him. Don't say stupid stuff like him, like windmills causes cancer. This guy is stupid. But you know why he gets away with a lot of stuff? I got two words for you. White privilege. Because if Obama had done half of what this orange clown has done, they wouldn't have been a second term. They wouldn't have been 5 months. He would have been gone. And Biden would have been president. You know, what if Africa would have helped Obama win the election? Would they have said anything about that then? You damn skippy, they would have said something about it then. The reason why his fans are not saying anything about it now because they don't care. Their man is in. There's somebody in there that thinks like them. And they're going to take up for him every single time. They don't care the rest of us want his ass out. They're gonna take it every time he says something dumb or whatever, they're going to take up for him. It doesn't matter. So he's trying to erase everything that Obama did to make himself look better. But this guy's got serious issues. He's never ran for office before. He doesn't know anything about government. He seems to think that government can be run like a business, which it can't. You know, and then too, if he was a little bit more successful, you know, maybe government wouldn't be so jacked up like it is now, but you cannot run government like a business. And I've been trying to say that for the longest. You can't do it. Now, this week, according to the news, on Friday, he wants to go to war with China, but it's not going to be a regular war. It's going to be a trade war. Now, somebody needs to tell this asshole, but, you know, he won't listen. That when you put tariffs on stuff, who pays for that stuff? We pay for it. There are not a lot of things made in the United States. Mostly everything we have is made in China. So you start messing with this stuff, when the prices go up, China's not paying that stuff, paying the price we are. We're paying the extra cost for this stuff. But he's too stupid to realize that. So not only is he screwing around with China, he's screwing around with North Korea, he's screwing around with Iran, he's screwing around with Venezuela, he's screwing around with Mexico. Canada don't like him. So just about, and then when he goes to other countries, it's like people diss him. It's like this, and he's too stupid to realize it. That's the thing. You got to be pretty stupid. I mean, you know, it's kind of like going to a party where people don't like you, but you go anyway. And then you go there, and then you act like everybody, you know. If you're that dumb, you know, you shouldn't be in charge of nothing. I mean, hell, you shouldn't even own goldfish. But he says stupid things. He does stupid things. He said, one quote they got him saying that, you know, suicide bombers should be given the death penalty. I'll say that again slowly in case you didn't hear me the first time. He said suicide bombers should be given the death penalty. If you're a suicide bomber, your ass is already dead. Once you hit the switch or pull the whatever and whatever you got on detonates, your ass is already dead. So getting the death penalty won't do you any good. But he says stupid shit. He does stupid things. He's an idiot. And his fans are idiots. Because if you support this clown, then you're as dumb as he is. And if you walk around with one of them dumbass hats, thinking you cool and thinking that makes you bulletproof, and you say something stupid and you get the shit knocked out of you, and you get that hat crammed up your ass, don't go crying to nobody, you know. That's on you. That's on you. Now he's on Twitter crying about, you know, people getting barred from Facebook and all this other kind of stuff, you know. Instead of being worried about the important things, he's worrying about stuff like that. Worrying about his ratings. You know, he was on that kick for a while. Ratings. My ratings. My ratings. Your ratings are in the toilet. That's why you're trying to go toward Iran. That's what Bush did. When your ratings start going down, you go pick a fight with somebody, so it takes everybody's mind off of what's going on around you. And that's what he's planning on doing. He's making up stories. He wants people to believe that real news is fake and fake news is real. He wants his people to believe everything he says. He doesn't want you to do fact checks on him. It's like being in a cult. Every time he says something, you're supposed to jump whenever he says it. You're not supposed to question what he says. You're supposed to just do it. You're supposed to just believe it, and you're supposed to just do it. But I hate to tell you, deranged Donald, I'm not like that. And there are millions of other people the same way. So you probably need to go somewhere with that shit, because ain't nobody trying to hear it. But his fans are like that. It's messed up. It's like being a leader of a cult, because you know, if you have some kind of personality, if you can talk halfway decent and get one person to believe you and another person and keep on, you know, you could get away with that kind of stuff. You can have them doing all kinds of stuff. Last week I talked about Robert E. Lee and the incident in Charlottesville. He comes out talking about there's good people on both sides. There is nothing good about a bigot. There's nothing good about a neo-Nazi. There's nothing good about a neo-Confederate. There's nothing good about. Now, I'm down with people that are against those kind of folk. But there is nothing good about a bigot. But he says this kind of shit because his base is made up of, you know, old white people, bigots, neo-Nazis, neo-Confederates, you know, people like that that are no good. But they're attracted to him because, you know, he does those hand signals. People in his cabinet does those hand signals. They do all kinds of crazy stuff, and they think they can get away with it. You know, I like Trump. Well, so what? So if you're a fan of Trump, then you're a fan of all the stupid shit that he's for. And I don't deal with people like that. So this guy needs to have some kind of mental evaluation, because he's not the sharpest tool in the shed. And I'm going to play these clips for you about the 25th Amendment, because I think a lot of people, you know, think that, you know, with him being as stupid as he is, that can get him out of office. Well, not necessarily, unfortunately. There's got to be other factors, not just because you're insane, you know, unfortunately, because, you know, if that's the case, he should have been gone 2 years ago. But a lot of people now are starting to talk about, you know, he needs to go. But then if he goes, there's a certain hierarchy. If he goes, then his gay-hating vice president will become president. And the vice president kills me. It just goes back to privilege. He pretends he's a Christian, but he hates gay people. Anybody that don't look like him, he can't do it. And these are the two most homophobic people I've ever seen in my life. It makes no sense. So I've got four clips to play. The last one is the longest one. The other ones are short. But they give background on what the 25th Amendment is and when it can be used. Unfortunately, it cannot be used on prisoners that are just stupid. And it's kind of complex the way that it's used. So it's not simple. It's not one of those things where somebody can just say, "Hey, let's start." It's not, you know, it's a whole lot more complicated than that. And it's only been used a couple of times. I think four times maybe. Can't remember the exact number. Three or four times. So just because you're a total fuck up doesn't mean that this can be used in that situation, unfortunately. I mean, this guy he's just all day stupid. All day. 24/7. 365. Just all day stupid. But, you know, people voted for him. He did not get the popular vote, but, you know, technicality, he got in, and he's just trying to get rid of the evil black president. Got to erase him out of the book. The evil black president's got to go. So that's exactly what he's trying to do. And he lies, you know, we've all known that one person that used to lie about everything. Everything came out of their mouth was a lie. And it's like, you know, they had to keep lying to cover for the lie that they told yesterday. And that's what he does. And if he don't do it, then he pays other people to do it for him. So we're paying people to lie for this clown. And they know it. But they're getting paid big bucks, so, you know, they don't care. They've already sold the soul. So we're going to play this first clip. And this talks about what exactly the 25th Amendment is. And then the other clips talk about a little bit more information. And there's one clip talks about Trump's, what's going on in his head, which is probably nothing. Probably not a whole lot. Probably got a couple of brain cells just bumping into each other like bumper cars over and over again. So let's get to the clip. I'll be back.
Those of us who cover Washington don't often get asked by our friends about provisions in the Constitution. But I've gotten the same question several times in recent weeks, and so have some of my reporter colleagues. What's the deal with the 25th Amendment? And is it really an option for removing Donald Trump from the presidency? The very short answers: the 25th Amendment mainly addresses two different matters, vice presidential vacancies and presidential disability. And while, yes, the provisions could theoretically provide a way to remove Trump from the Oval Office, as a practical and political matter, that is highly unlikely. The amendment sailed through Congress, got ratified by the states, and added to the Constitution 50 years ago, mainly as a reaction to the Kennedy assassination and heightened tensions of the Cold War. The new president, Lyndon Johnson, had a history of heart trouble, and the next two people in line, Speaker John McCormick and Senate President Pro Tem Carl Hayden, were both ailing and a combined 157 years old. The first provision set a method for filling a vice presidential opening, even though the job had been opened 16 times after vice presidents died, resigned, or ascended to the presidency. The president nominates someone who takes office upon confirmation by both the Senate and the House. That's how Gerald Ford became vice president when Spiro Agnew resigned after a criminal conviction in 1973, and then how Nelson Rockefeller got the job when Richard Nixon resigned the next year and Ford became president. It's a pretty simple process, actually, but not so for the other parts of the 25th Amendment, about what happens when the president is unable to discharge his powers and duties. It isn't a theoretical problem. James Garfield lay dying for 80 days after being shot in 1881. Woodrow Wilson was incapacitated by strokes with 17 months left in his term. And Dwight Eisenhower had a heart attack and a stroke in the 1950s. In these and other cases, power was never transferred because none of the vice presidents wanted to seem like usurpers. Now the Constitution has two procedures for transferring authority. In the first, the president voluntarily but temporarily transfers his powers and duties to the VP, then reclaims them. Ronald Reagan and George W. Bush both did this before anesthesia for medical procedures, which leads to the final provision of the 25th Amendment, the one that's getting some added attention these days from President Trump's most vigorous critics. It's about what happens when a president is unable to fulfill his constitutional role, but cannot make the decision to step aside, probably because of a severe physical disability, or else refuses to yield power, probably because of significant mental health problems. In that case, the vice president becomes acting president when he decides the time is appropriate, and also gets agreement from either a majority of the cabinet or some other special panel that Congress could create to take that decision-making away from those top administration officials. If and when the president pronounces himself ready to get back to work, that deciding group has 4 days to disagree and stop him. And if that happens, then Congress gets the final word. It gets 3 weeks to decide, but it takes two-thirds majorities in both the House and the Senate to countermand the president's judgment. For all those elaborate and precise mechanics, though, the 25th Amendment provides no definition or other guidance about what the words unable, inability, or disability mean in this context. The congressional authors decided to leave the language deliberately vague. Some were concerned a precise definition might be made obsolete by changes in the world of medicine. Others wanted to make sure that the elected officials, given the decision-making powers, had wide latitude to make what is ultimately a political and not a medical decision. Still, the debate on the Hill in the 1960s made clear that Congress didn't want those words turned into synonyms for incompetence, laziness, unpopularity, or impeachable conduct. They talked about invoking those involuntary removal mechanics only when a president was clearly and unequivocally incapacitated. That's one reason no one should expect these powers to get used, especially for the first time, in a way that could be portrayed by history as a constitutional crisis culminating in a coup. That, plus there's the fact that a presumably politically loyal vice president would be the essential actor in any use of the 25th Amendment. And in the end, it would take bipartisan supermajorities in Congress to move the president aside. The current dynamic among President Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, and the GOP majorities in the House and the Senate do not suggest much viability at all for the 25th Amendment option.
Okay, this was made, I should have wrote the date down. This was made a few years ago, but, you know, they don't have the majority like they used to a couple of years ago. So, you know, so that's why, you know, people talk about it, but it's probably not going to happen because Pence would have something to do with it, and Pence is not going to, he's not going to do anything because he's, you know, he's lapdog number one. So he's not going to go against his master. So he's not going to do it. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe, you know, it might be possible if this clown just wakes up one morning and just loses it. But right now, it doesn't seem likely, even though people have brought it up in the past over and over again. But you talking about, I mean, I was gonna get a list of the stupid things that he said. But if I would have gotten a list of the dumb things he would have said, I'd be sitting here right now with a lap full of paper. And it would probably take me longer than an hour and a half to read everything to you, so I didn't do it. Because he's been saying stupid stuff from day one. I mean, he lied about the number of people that saw him get inaugurated. And then he kept lying, and then he kept lying, and then he kept lying. And that's all he does is lie and lie and lie and lie and lie. Oh, yeah, there was a school shooting today. I wonder what he'll say about that. Probably nothing. As usual. He'll wait and get on the toilet at about 3-ish in the morning and say something. It'll probably be what, you know, what Republicans always say whenever something like this happens, you know, our thoughts and prayers, yada, 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 yada. The same tired shit over and over again. Same tiredness. I think seven or eight people were injured. I think they caught two people. Last time I checked, they caught two people. I think they said there was a third one on the loose or something like that. I haven't checked since I saw it on the news. But I wonder what he'll say about that. And I haven't seen what race these people are. But I guarantee you, and I don't know yet, I'll have to check on that, but I don't know, but I guarantee you, if these shooters are white, he won't say a word. But if these shooters are black or brown, him and Fox Noise and all the rest of these big mouth conservatives are going to just, you know, blah, 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 like they always do. Because you notice every time something like this happens, if the guy is white, they won't say a peep. You won't hear nothing out of him. But if he's black or brown, don't let it be brown. If the person is brown, we're going to go back to that wall thing all over again. If the guy is black, he's going to get called a thug, a criminal, blah, 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 shouldn't have had a gun, the usual. So he probably won't say anything about that. But I don't know. I haven't seen the latest on what happened. But, you know. But, you know, I will say this about Republicans. They won't do a thing about regulating guns, but they will regulate these vaginas. They will get your vagina. They'll regulate that. They'll board vaginas up with, you know, they'll nail those shut with wood and nails. You know, they don't want these women out here, you know. You can't decide what to do with your body, but we don't let anybody and everybody have a gun because, you know, that's how we make a little bit of extra cash. And we can't have people messing with our cash. So they do what they want to do. Second clip. Play it and I'll be right back.
In an opinion piece loaded with high-impact news nuggets, there is a particularly interesting detail hiding near the bottom. Quote, given the instability many witnessed, there were early whispers within the cabinet of invoking the 25th Amendment, which would start a complex process for removing the president. The 25th Amendment. So what is it? Can it do what the author says? And better yet, should it? Now, you might think the 25th Amendment, which spells out presidential succession, is an old concept, but it's not. The text is relatively recent, born right after John F. Kennedy died, thought up by members of administration, including his brother Bobby, who shuddered to think what might have happened had the president been only incapacitated in Dallas. In fact, as recently as 1965, this nation had no real plan for what to do if a president couldn't discharge his duties. The issue first came up way back in 1841, when William Henry Harrison died just a month after taking office. No one really knew what to call Vice President John Tyler. Critics simply called him Your Accidency. 4 decades later, President James Garfield was shot and lingered incapacitated for more than 2 months. Afraid of causing a constitutional crisis, Vice President Chester A. Arthur, of the really great Steinbrenners, avoided doing anything presidential and the government ground to a halt. In 1919, President Woodrow Wilson had a stroke and his second wife, Edith, essentially ran the country for 18 months. By that point, the 25th Amendment was long overdue, but it took the Kennedy assassination to get it written. And it didn't get used by a president for another 2 decades when President Reagan had a 1985 surgery, but it got its first real test 2 years later. That's when incoming Reagan Chief of Staff Howard Baker was urged to consider it after reports that Reagan was in mental decline. Baker agreed to observe the president for deficiencies, and when he didn't find any, the 25th Amendment was never mentioned again in the Reagan White House. It's been invoked just twice more, both by George W. Bush for colonoscopies, and that's really been it. So the question we're confronting today is whether the 25th Amendment could be used to remove a president who some feel, as the unnamed White House writer puts it, is, quote, detrimental to the health of our republic. The short answer is not easily. Remember, the amendment was written primarily to address physical incapacity, but it does include a section never used on removing a president deemed unfit. And that section reads like a Rube Goldberg machine. Basically, it goes like this. The vice president, along with the majority of the cabinet, can send a letter to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House, declaring that the president, as former Senator Birch Bayh colorfully put it, is nutty as a fruitcake. And then as soon as that letter is received, bam, the president is out. The vice president becomes the acting president. But not so fast. The president can then write his own letter and send it back to Congress, saying he's feeling perfectly fine, after which the vice president and a majority of the cabinet still want him gone, they have to send another letter. Now, once that happens, within 3 weeks, two-thirds of Congress must vote to declare the president unfit. Otherwise, he becomes president again, and the VP goes back to his old job, but presumably not for long. The odds of that happening, that the president's VP, the bulk of his cabinet, and two-thirds of both houses of Congress would turn on him, are incredibly long. So while the 25th Amendment makes for some interesting history, the chances it gets written into President Trump's history are slim, to say the least. And that's your reality check. In an opinion piece loaded with high-impact news nuggets...
Okay. I got to hit the button. So, the only way this clown gets out is if he goes crazy or somebody shoots him, kills him. But, you know, that's not going to be something that he's going to voluntarily give up, and the vice president is not going to be, no, that's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Because those clowns, I mean, they know where their extra money's coming from. They're all in cahoots. And he's the ring cahooter. Russia's paying them pretty good penny to do, to keep on doing what they're doing. So they're not gonna mess with the money train, because they're getting crazy paid. So he'll continue to keep yapping and saying stupid shit. Meanwhile, they'll still keep getting paid. Russia will still keep sliding the money under the table, and then they'll keep lying about it. Because he's got lying down to a science. He lies so much that he'll forget what he's lying about, and he'll keep lying about it over and over and over and over again. Because anybody with a brain, matter of fact, there's something going around today, that if he wasn't president, all the stuff that he got accused of, he'd probably be sitting in jail right now. It's like, you know, and now he's telling the members of his cabinet, you know, when you get subpoenaed, you have to appear. It's kind of like, what do you call it, failure to appear whenever you get a ticket. When you have to go to court and you don't go to court, they set your court date up for tomorrow, your happy butt better be in the courthouse tomorrow. Because if you're not in the courthouse and they call your name, and you're not sitting there, they're going to come and get you. And it's the same thing with these clowns. You know, for some reason he thinks he's above the law, and nobody is above the law. A lot of this stuff, I think that he thinks that, you know, you can't run the government like a business. He's running the government like it's his business, which means he's the boss, which means he can do what he wants to do, which means he doesn't have to answer to anybody, and he don't care about that other stuff. So he's delusional. He's lost his mind. That's why, you know, I keep going. He can say what he wants to say. He can do, because he thinks that he's running the government like he's running Trump Towers or one of his golf courses. no matter what he does, no matter what he says, he's in charge. He can do what he wants to do, and nobody can say jack. Nobody can say anything to him. And that's what he acts like. That's exactly what he's acting like. So now all of a sudden, you know, he doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to do that. I can do what I want to do. Oh, yeah, go ahead and testify. Nah, I changed my mind. Yeah, go ahead and cooperate. Nah, I changed my mind. Don't do it. You know, his lawyer, quote unquote fixer, went to jail yesterday. Well, he didn't go to jail. He went to a country club yesterday. You know, white collar crime criminals, they don't go to jail. They go to country clubs. The rest of us go to jail, but they don't. They go to special places. It's kind of like if you've seen the movie Goodfellas, when they had those mobsters in jail, not jail, but you know, they were still getting lobsters and they were still getting, you know, wine and food that the other inmates weren't getting. I mean, they were set. So this guy's going to something like that. You know, they're going to special jail, jail that normal people like us wouldn't go to. You know, that clown, I ain't going to call him a clown, but he sold his soul to Trump. He got hit. He got hemmed up, and Trump pretty much threw him under the bus. Yeah, well, good luck to you. See you in three. You know, he has no more use for him. So. Two more clips, and then we're going to wrap this up. Number three. Play this, be right back.
This is one of Donald Trump's favorite movies. A heroic president is captured by terrorists aboard Air Force One. But it's also a film of hidden constitutional depth.
I'm told that you want my interpretation as to what the Constitution says about this situation.
Let me explain. It deals with something the Constitution never considered. What happens if the president becomes unable to do their job? Now, this could be because Air Force One was hijacked by terrorists, or it could be something a little less dramatic. What if the president became mentally unstable? This is all hypothetical, of course.
President Donald J. Trump has completed his first periodic physical examination as president of the United States. I found no reason whatsoever to think that the president has any issues whatsoever with this thought process.
But what if a president did have an issue? The answer lies in the U.S. Constitution's 25th Amendment.
The 25th Amendment provides a way in which to remove a president for disability, including both physical and mental health. It wasn't meant to provide a political way of limiting the president's power.
To understand its origins, we need to go back to the 1960s. It was the height of the Cold War. The Cuban Missile Crisis had nearly ended in nuclear Armageddon. President John F. Kennedy's assassination brought something sharply into focus. What would happen if he had survived but wasn't able to function as president? There was nothing in the Constitution. In the past, when President Woodrow Wilson had a major stroke while in office, he was simply shut away by his doctors and hidden from public view. When President James Garfield was shot by an assassin in 1881, he lay on his deathbed for 80 days, hallucinating while the government carried on without him. This make-it-up-as-you-go approach obviously wouldn't work in the age of nuclear standoffs and television news.
Ask not!
Presidents needed to be visibly in charge. And so, Congress was forced to act. The final result was the 25th Amendment, passed into law on February 10th, 1967. It has four sections. The first was already convention. If the president dies or resigns, the vice president becomes the new president. Section 2 deals with the replacement of the vice president. Fans of nerdy political dramas know all about Section 3 of the 25th Amendment,
which permits through a written declaration to temporarily transfer all powers of the presidency to the next in the constitutional line of succession.
Section 3 was used by President George W. Bush while he had a routine medical procedure.
Because the president will be under the effects of anesthesia, he once again is elected to implement Section 3 of the 25th Amendment to the United States Constitution.
So, for just over 2 hours, the commander-in-chief was the vice president, Dick Cheney. But the big one is Section 4, and it's never been used before, except in fictional shows like 24.
What do you know about Section 4 of the 25th Amendment?
It provides that if the majority of his cabinet feels he's unfit to fulfill his duties, that the president could be removed from office.
That's removed from office involuntarily. We know from insider accounts the people around President Ronald Reagan were having these discussions during his second term. His staff noticed that he seemed inattentive. Sometimes he wouldn't read his papers and only wanted to watch television. But they never took it any further. 6 years after leaving office,
former President Ronald Reagan notified news agencies late today that he has been diagnosed as having Alzheimer's disease.
So what does this all mean for President Donald Trump? Well, if there were ever any serious doubts about the president's sanity, the decision to trigger the 25th Amendment would fall first on the vice president, then on a majority of the members of Trump's cabinet, and then it would require support from two-thirds of both houses in Congress. A pretty high bar. As unlikely as this seems...
25th Amendment. They would bring up the 25th Amendment?
Yes. The 25th Amendment is a concept that is alive every day in the White House.
The White House, of course, has dismissed all of this as pure fantasy. But Michael Wolff isn't the only one raising this. A group of lawmakers, mostly Democrats, were recently briefed on the president's mental state by a psychiatry professor from Yale.
The danger he poses is related to past dangerousness that he has shown in terms of verbal aggression, boasting about sexual assault, his proneness to paranoid reactions, his loose grip on reality.
But even if the vice president and Trump's cabinet were prepared to act to trigger the 25th Amendment, Trump would still have a possible way out. Presidents can remove any cabinet member for any reason at all, as Trump has already proven.
Major breaking news this morning from the Trump administration. Just moments ago, the president announced that Rex Tillerson is out.
So while it might cause a constitutional crisis, if he feared his cabinet were plotting to remove him, he could take them out first with his favorite catchphrase.
You're fired.
Okay, so this last clip is about 15 minutes long, and it'll probably more likely take us up to the end, which is good because I am pooped. I'm ready to go to bed, but I wanted to do this because, you know, this is important. You know, show's got to go on anyway, no matter what I'm feeling like, because this is important. People need to start paying attention to what's happening. If you're not paying attention, you need to start paying attention to what's going on. You know, especially with that clown in the White House. If you hadn't been paying attention before, you need to start paying attention now. Because the decisions that he makes and the stuff that he does affects every single one of us. If not directly, indirectly. You know, you can't have some nut job running the country and getting us in all kinds of, you know, mess. Hopefully there's people in his cabinet that, you know, if they see him doing something stupid, they'll stop him from doing it. And I think they will. I think that's the main reason why he didn't get, when they were talking about the collusion, all that kind of stuff. Because the thing is, he was trying to pass the buck on to somebody else. He wanted somebody else to do the job for him, and they told him no. They told him to kick rocks. Now, if one of them had done what he told them to do, then we might be talking about something different today. But they told him to get lost. They didn't do it, so we're still stuck with him. So let's get this 15-minute clip out of the way, and then we'll wrap this up.
It's great to welcome back to the program today Dr. John Gartner, who is founder of Duty to Warn and co-editor of Rocket Man, Nuclear Madness in the Mind of Donald Trump. He has taught in the Department of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins Medical Center for 28 years. Dr. Gartner, thanks for joining us again.
Sure. Well, thanks for having me.
So last time you were on, you described and pointed to a number of sort of publicly available instances that you believe raised the serious concern of Donald Trump's both possible cognitive decline and what has been described occasionally as a pre-dementia state. You also discussed some personality issues that you believe are noticeable about the president from publicly available audio video information. In the months since we've had you on, have your concerns grown or decreased about this issue?
They've grown. They've grown dramatically. I think two things I would point to is, one, if you managed to catch his two-hour CPAC speech, he was openly rambling. It just didn't make sense. It sounded like the wild sort of gyrations and meandering sort of thought disorder of someone who really has something cognitively wrong with them. And I remember when I first started suggesting that he was unfit because of his severe personality disorder, his malignant narcissism, which is the personality disorder that's shared by most murderous dictators, I said, well, it's not like he's openly, flagrantly thought disordered. It's really more this severe personality disorder. But of course, if he were, you know, openly schizophrenic or openly thought disordered, well, then people would think that they could remove him under the 25th Amendment. But anything short of that, they wouldn't even. And now, actually, we are seeing a flagrant thought disorder in the form of this gross cognitive deterioration, and still people are normalizing it. The most recent example, of course, that, you know, Colbert was joking about last night was this Tim Apple comment that seems innocuous and funny, but it's actually quite revealing. He's done this many times before, called people by the wrong names. You know, in the fires of California, he said the fires were in Pleasure, California, not Paradise, California. He's done malapropisms with people's names about a dozen different times. So the thing about this Tim Apple thing is it's not actually funny. It's actually revealing of someone whose cognitive slippage is getting worse by the day and who's showing it more flagrantly every single day. And people are so entranced with the dear leader that he could literally be a babbling idiot. And then everyone will just normalize it.
So there's people who will hear us and they'll say, you guys aren't talking about dyslexia. Is it possible that if not all, but much of what we're observing could simply be dyslexia?
No. Short answer. he may have dyslexia. I know he can't read. But the reason to suspect cognitive pre-dementia, that is because we're seeing cognitive decline from his earlier baseline. As I said last time I was on the show, if you look at videotapes of him in the 1980s, he's quite articulate. He's got a rich vocabulary. His thought is sophisticated. He speaks in polished paragraphs. Now he can't complete a sentence without derailing into some kind of irrelevancy. He really has trouble finding words. His vocabulary is very thin. He overuses superlatives, which is one of the things we see with people who have dementia. Everything's tremendous or, a shame or, you know, because that just sort of covers a wide multitude of things. So we're seeing a gross deterioration from his own baseline. So for something like dyslexia, that would be something stable that he had his whole life. What we're seeing is someone who's a shadow of his former self in terms of his cognitive functioning.
When it comes to the – I want to get to the Tim Apple thing in a second. But when it comes to some of these incidents where he has seemingly had trouble pronouncing words, so that there was the God bless the United States and the Jerusalem and that type of thing, which was – we were told could have been a denture issue, but then really rich people usually don't have dentures. They have implants. And then we were later told he doesn't really have dentures. What do you make of that piece?
No, I think that's a good – that's also, I think, quite significant. I mean, these are sort of hard neurological signs, these kind of mispronunciations. Also some of his spelling errors, the smocking gun and also some of his neologisms. Neologism is a made-up word, like feffy. These are really not, these aren't subtle signs of thought disorder. These are the kind of things that if you saw it in your uncle, you know, you'd be sending him to the doctor.
When we go back to the Tim Apple story for a second, one of the things that I'm thinking about is this report from a private meeting at Mar-a-Lago with Republican donors, where he reportedly said that it was fake news. I mean, that he didn't actually say Tim Apple, that he was saying Tim Cook Apple in this sort of quick way, and that it's all completely fabricated. That's almost more disturbing to me in the sense that either he believes he can convince people that that's the case, which shows some kind of disconnection from reality, or he may actually remember it in that way. I don't know if one or the other is more concerning to you.
Well, they're both concerning. And with Donald Trump in general, he is a pathological liar. And he also has delusional thinking. So at any given moment, you're unclear as to whether he's simply telling a lie, which he does, you know, something like, you know, done 6,000 times during the time he's been in office, or he's actually deluded or distorted, disordered in his thinking, and he actually believes some of these crazy, you know, conspiracy theories or what have you. And the thing is it really, I think, is somewhat fluid. I think he actually goes back and forth between simply lying and actually living in a fantasy world. And you're right, both are disturbing, but what's even more disturbing is that both are.
Have you noticed anything in terms of time of day? There are sometimes considerations or observational differences in people who either have pre-dementia or other cognitive decline, where time of day seems to be a big difference maker in terms of sort of how they're able to comport themselves. Have you observed anything like that with the president?
You know, that's a really fascinating and interesting question. I have not been able to sort of track his behavior, you know, by the hour. But now that you mention it, it would be a good variable for us to pay attention to and try to measure, because I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, as happens with people who have dementia, if not doing some sundowning, where he's getting worse at certain times of the day, especially around sunset. I remember there was that one visual of him not being able to find the car when he got off the plane. He was sort of wandering around the tarmac, and I think that was around 5 o'clock. People were saying, this looks like my demented uncle, you know, sundowning. We have a lot of examples of that where he seems to be disoriented, you know, on stage. He doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know who's there. He doesn't remember if Melania is there or not there. People are kind of steering him, you know, in the right direction, but he looks confused and aimless.
There will be people who listen to or watch this interview who will say, hey, guys, hold on a second. Dr. Gartner has not examined Donald Trump. Dr. Ronnie Jackson did. They did something called the Montreal Cognitive Assessment, and Trump right. passed, right? So what? How do we evaluate that defense?
No, it's actually an excellent question. The Montreal Cognitive Assessment is really a screening device for gross dementia. It doesn't measure these more subtle signs of cognitive decline. So if you think of a rock rolling downhill, it only goes one way. It only goes down. But if it's halfway down the hill, it's not going to be sensitive. The Montreal test not sensitive enough to catch that level of deterioration. After all, this is someone with an Ivy League education. So his fund of vocabulary, even if he loses 70% of his words, he still has more words than say someone with, you know, low average intelligence. You know, if you look at the items on the Montreal Cognitive Assessment test, there are things like, can you identify a camel? Can you identify a lion? Can you say three numbers backwards? These are the kind of things that can you draw a clock? So these are sort of things that are very, very rudimentary. So you could have someone who's in an advanced stage of cognitive decline, but who hasn't gotten so demented that they need to be institutionalized, that would still pass the Montreal, especially if they started out with a high level of intelligence to begin with. As I said, if you look at the tapes of him, you know, people say, no, we haven't examined him, but we do have him on videotape speaking and behaving. So we have observed behavior. You look at the way he behaved and spoke in the 80s, he looks like someone who is two standard deviations cognitively ahead of where he is right now.
Yeah, well, let's dig into that a little bit more, because last time you were on, there were people who, even though we did address it, still were not sort of satisfied with your answer. We've talked about this idea, I don't know if I should call it a standard or a rule or a protocol, whereby mental health professionals should not make assessments about individuals without personally examining them. And you pointed out that unless Donald Trump is effectively playing a character in every audiovisual record, that we can deduce characteristics about reality from the audiovisual record. Can you address that from a sort of mental health standards and guidelines perspective, and then maybe more colloquially?
Well, just to take a step back, so the Goldwater Rule really sprung from a lawsuit in 1964 when Barry Goldwater was running for president. And a magazine, Fact Magazine, which is now defunct, did a survey of psychiatrists as to whether he was mentally stable. And this is in the area of Freudian psychiatry. And so many of the psychiatrists said he wasn't, but the explanations they gave is that he had an unresolved Oedipus complex, he'd been scarred by his potty training, he was a latent homosexual, very speculative kinds of ideas. And so I actually interviewed the last living member of the ethics committee from that era, and he said, look, we didn't want people making irresponsible claims about public figures that weren't evidence-based. And that was why they put that rule in. Also, they didn't want to make the profession look foolish or leave it open to lawsuits. But then in the 1980s, we switched to a different diagnostic system, the DSM system, which is based on observable behaviors. All of our diagnostic criteria are based on observable behaviors. Well, we can observe Donald Trump's behavior. We can observe him on we've all observed him on TV for hundreds of hours. We observe his social media postings. And also, we have what we call in psychiatry informants, people who have worked in the White House, who have written memoirs or have given interviews describing their observation of his behavior. You know, there was a hashtag 25th Amendment inside joke going on within the Oval Office, within the White House itself, of his own aides making, you know, kind of slap your forehead sort of observations about the things that he would do that seem so grossly disordered. So it's not just an act. The people who are closest to him are even more alarmed, apparently, because they do see more close up how disordered his behavior, his personality, and his thinking truly is. So what's important to understand is that the rule was put into place for good reason. People shouldn't make irresponsible public statements, but it wasn't intended to be an overall gag order. And it's not saying that we can't make intelligent inferences about someone's behavior if we can observe their behavior and get information from other people who are observing their behavior. So all of these comments that we're making are based on things that we can see with our own eyes and that people who are up close to him can see with their own eyes.
Dr. Gartner, last thing I want to touch on. I've been making the case that whether or not there is a case for impeachment against the president at this point, only 20 months from the 2020 election, the most direct path to his removal is just voting for somebody else in November of 2020. Along the same lines, when we think about the 25th Amendment and removal for being unfit, from a purely practical perspective, are you also of the mindset that is an uphill battle and the most direct path is just voting him out in 2020?
Well, the reason the most direct path for getting rid of him is voting him out in 2020 is because we have the most thoroughly corrupt political party in the history of our nation, the current Republican Party, that would not remove him. Not could he shoot someone on Fifth Avenue. He could commit mass murder on Fifth Avenue, and they would not remove him. This has really become a fascist party who will unite behind the leader no matter how evil, no matter how dishonest, no matter how destructive, no matter how immoral his behavior. And so I think I disagree with Nancy Pelosi in the sense that I think it's actually their constitutional duty to impeach him, given that he is not only committed. You know, actually, if you read the Constitution, we always talk about high crimes and misdemeanors. I'd like to point out that the Constitution, that's not exactly what it says. It says that a president should be removed for treason, corruption, high crimes, or misdemeanors. High crimes and misdemeanors are the lowest level offenses for which you would impeach someone. Treason and corruption are the highest level offenses. And there is absolutely no doubt that this president has committed treason and that he is the most thoroughly corrupt politician perhaps in the history of our nation. So he meets all four criteria, but most importantly, he meets the more serious criteria. When you have a traitor in the White House, that is an emergency, and I would argue it is the constitutional duty of the Congress to impeach him, whether it's politically popular or not. So I happen to strongly disagree with Nancy Pelosi about that, but I do understand why she's saying it, because practically speaking, the 2020 election is the only way that we will remove him from office.
Dr. John Gartner has been teaching in the Department of Psychiatry at Johns Hopkins Medical Center for 28 years, founder of Duty to Warn and co-editor of Rocket Man, Nuclear Madness in the Mind of Donald Trump. Dr. Gartner, a pleasure as always having you on.
Thank you. Always a pleasure talking to you too.
Okay, that's the last clip. I'm going to wrap this up. I can get some sleep. So, in conclusion, whether you like the man or you don't, need to pay attention to what he's doing, what he's saying, and all that good stuff. And I'm sure there are going to be some people listening. Oh, you know, you don't tell me. You know, well, whatever. That's why I go back to what I said earlier.
the people that like him, most of them don't care what he does or what he says. It doesn't matter. They will still be his fans. They will still, you know, spew the same garbage he spews. They will follow him on Facebook, not Facebook. They will follow him on Twitter. They will agree with him every time he says something. So, you know, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The thing is to pay attention. And whether you realize it or not, these are some serious times that we're going through. This is probably worse than Watergate was bad, but this is probably worse than Watergate. Because the entire Republican Party is just corrupt. They know it. They want to pretend that they don't know it, and we know it. So if you can't use the 25th Amendment to get them out of office, the only thing to do is to vote them out next year. And to make sure that if you, you know, don't want this to happen again, clean house, get rid of all the bums, throw them all out. And then that might solve the problem. All right, I'm out. Time for night-night. I will be back next week. And next week I'll go back to taking phone calls. So I will be back next week. I don't know what I'm going to do the show on, but whatever it is, we'll do it together for another hour and a half. All right, I'm gone. I will see you back here next Tuesday, 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock to 9:30. Peace out.